Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. In his message titled, Among the Tombs, Reverend David Williams tells us that everyone is very busy and some of us can fall through the cracks and feel isolated. We need to keep our eyes open for those who feel alone and be their home and friend that Jesus promised all. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As human beings, we are fundamentally social creatures. We are creatures of language and story. We are creatures that share life together and are happiest when we are around others. And though that is true, we live in a culture where very often we can find ourselves isolated and separated from others. We can find ourselves in empty homes. We can find ourselves feeling, even in a crowd, like we're not connecting with anyone. And in those moments, it's easy for our souls to wander to dark places. For those who have experienced that, it can be a hard thing. And for those of us who see those who are isolated and judge them for their separation, it can be a harder thing still. So right now, let's admit that sometimes we do not seek when we should. Sometimes we do not look for God's connection to others, whether we are ourselves alone or we are seeing someone in isolation. Let's pray that through the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, seeing ourselves as pure when we are not, and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And now, listen for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. Amen. Our third reading for this morning is drawn from Mark's gospel. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. That can be found on page 39 of your Pew New Testament. That's Mark 5, 1 through 20. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I abjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now, there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and the swine reported it, and they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And Jesus went away and began, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's right there at the beginning of the story of us as creatures, as the Bible tells it. The Bible says it is not good for us to be alone. And that is fundamentally true. We are human beings, social creatures, creatures woven up of dirt and breath and words, of stories shared and of lives together. That's just a part of who we are. It's part of this story, and there's an article that I read this last week in this month's Scientific American that suggests that what made human beings the single most successful species in the whole life and story of life on this world was our social nature. There's an article by Dr. Curtis Moran, a professor of archaeology at Arizona State University, and he suggested that it wasn't just our intellects or our good looks that made human beings the most successful species ever. Though he puts it, we're the most successful invasive species ever, which, I don't know, it makes us sound like stink bugs, you know, and I don't know, I generally think of y'all as better than stink bugs, so... There is no question, however, that we've had a very successful run on this planet. And what makes that possible, Moran suggested, was the unique capacity of Homo sapiens sapiens to cooperate socially, not just with an immediate group of folks right around us, but that we can share purpose, we can share knowledge with everyone around us in ways that let us accomplish together things that we can't accomplish alone. Because we together can do so much more than we can apart. And that's not to say that individual human beings aren't wonderful creatures. But when we come together, we become something even more. When we share our life, when we share common purpose. Individually, we can step out into our yards and we can look up at the sky and we can wonder at the stars and at the moon. Together, we can reach out and touch them and be there. There's so much more we can do when we come together as one. And Last week, I talked a little bit about the expectations of culture, about the way that those connections that we all have can form us and shape us in ways that keep us busy and distracted and forgetting ourselves. But there's a weird shadow in our culture's busyness and rushing and expectation. And that shadow side to our busyness is this. Sure, we are very connected and we are very social. We are always on. And yet, in the thick of that, there are more and more of us who find themselves socially isolated. And that seems counterintuitive. I mean, here, we have all these new ways to connect, to communicate. We can move and go and be with people across great distances. You'd think that would facilitate continual interaction, a deepening of our social connection. Yet somehow in all of that, the face-to-face connection that we were created to need to thrive seems sometimes to come apart. We travel and we move about and we move and we move and friendships can wane and the connections we have with family can fray and the circle of the tribes of souls we know can come apart. It's as if we weren't really made for this new rushing about world that we now inhabit. And it also means that unless we're very attentive, we can fall through the cracks and find ourselves disconnected. And social isolation, being disconnected from others, is a terrible place for a person to be. It breeds all manner of darkness in us, because when we are separated from other human beings, we become more aggressive, we become more on edge, we become more afraid, more prone to paranoia or anger or depression. Human beings don't even sleep well when we find ourselves not connected to others. There was a recent study that suggested that this was just natural. If you find yourself alone, even if you're depressed and down, you can't sleep because long ago when we human beings were out there on the savannah, alone, if you're an isolated individual without the comfort of your tribe around you, you're always going to be on edge because you need to always be on edge because you're going to wake up and there'll be bright eyes and panther fangs and you need to be ready for that. That's why I don't like camping. I can never sleep when I'm camping. Just can't do it because you've got that fight or flight instinct that comes when you need it. And if you're alone, you feel you need that all the time. Being alone breeds what poet William Blake once called the reptiles of the mind. It's those devouring things that produce this deepening spiral. Isolation begets anxiety, which makes you less able to socially connect, which makes you more isolated, onward and onward, in the reverse of a virtuous cycle. It is being alone, a terrible place. A place of death, soul death, and that when we arrive at the far side of a lake on a desolate crag near the tombs of the dead, that is where the great story of the gospel brings us this morning, into encounter with the one known as the Gerasene demoniac, a broken soul who is unmanageably shattered. And we don't know the source of that shattering or where it came from, but we do hear that his community had been unable to handle him as he had become more and more angry, had more and more rages, become more and more destructive. Finally, either by his own design or by the casting out of the social group, he found himself absent community, cast out into the wilderness. And the story reminds us, as it's told by Mark, that where he is consigned is to living among the dead, among the tombs, just him and his ever-strengthening demons who grew and thrived and reproduced like rabbits until they were legion. He's like he's creating his own community, but this a community of delusions and angers and loathings that are his only company. And then Jesus arriving in the land of the Gerasenes, who were Gentiles. These are not Jews he is encountering, nor is this a Jewish person. And we hear that there is an exchange between the two of them. Jesus challenging those spirits who have control over him, and him responding, "Bless you." As the story goes, there is an exchange, and it becomes clear that Jesus is not going to tolerate the brokenness of this man. He's going to heal him. And so those things that consumed him request that they be cast out into a herd of pigs. These are Gentiles, remember, herding pigs. And the pigs promptly freak out and fling themselves into the sea. You know, even demons taste better with bacon, apparently. And honestly, this bit of the story always bothered me a little bit. Because my first thought is always, oh, poor little piggies. What did they do to deserve that? You know, I'm a vegetarian, what are you going to do with me? But, you know, for the first century Jewish ears that would have heard Mark's version of the gospel story, remember, pigs are unclean creatures. In this story, it's a group of inherently unpleasant, untouchable beings that are being destroyed. So for their mindset, no one worries about that. And I fish around for a contemporary analog, and I don't know if I can, you know, maybe if Jesus casts the demons into a gathering of industry lobbyists and hired congressmen and they throw themselves into the Potomac, maybe that would be, I don't know. But what is the most striking part of this story, as far as I feel it as I read it, is not the healing, as wild and wonderfully mythic as it may be. It's the way that Jesus interacts with this shattered soul. Because we hear, you know, that the townsfolk are freaked out, which is understandable, and that Jesus is sitting together and sharing conversation, and it becomes clear that it's time for him to leave the presence of this now made whole soul. And what that human being says to Jesus, asks, "Can I come with you? Can I be with you?" Because here, they're finally integrated as a person. They've found themselves. They've found purpose in their lives. "Let me go with you," this person asks. And then, you know, even harsher than with the pigs, Jesus says, "No. No, you may not." And again, that on first reading seems a little cruel. I mean, here, this person who has finally been healed, and here the person who's made them whole, "Please let me just be with you. I feel whole finally again." But as I read this and pray over it, I'm convinced, listening to the spirit of it, that what Jesus is doing isn't really rejecting this person. Instead, he is giving them words that mark both the nature and the completeness of the healing that's been offered up. This is a soul that has lived in the agony of isolation, been fragmented and broken, alone, cast out into the wilds, into the place of the dead, with only the voices of madness to keep him company. And what does Jesus say when he refuses? He says, "Go and be at home." With the understanding, if you listen to it, that home is a real thing. "Go and tell your friends what has happened," with the understanding that there are friends there waiting. And to this isolated soul, now made whole, I think these are the most healing and potent words that could be offered. "You have a place. Go and be there. You have a people. Go be there among them. You're not alone." And that, for those who are cast out, is a powerful thing, because the cost of human isolation is heavy, if you've ever felt it resting on you. And I've been there. Like several years ago, when things were going south in my last congregation, and my wife was working all the time, and things weren't that good between us, and my kids were off doing stuff. And I realized, after years of work and juggling things, that my circle of people I could talk to had eroded away to nothing in that time of stress. And yeah, I'm introverted to the point of being a natural hermit, which is helpful if you're a writer. It gives you time by yourself. You just naturally seek it. But I enjoy the company, the regular company of other people, and I would look at my week as I would sit in an empty church office with no one returning my calls or emails, and I'd realized I had one person I could really talk to, a single friend who I saw every couple of months, which is not enough. It was not enough, and that was kind of disturbing as I thought about it to myself, because, you know, kids are off at school, wife is off at work, I'm at home by myself, I'm in the office by myself, and the days, you know, I could reasonably expect not to talk to another human being for 6 hours at a stretch or more, and that would go on day after day, and during fellowship hours, which was really, that was painful, I'd somehow managed to find myself in this place where there's just nobody around me. You know, you're rushing around from thing to thing, and I see the foundations of it in the work I'd had before. When I was in seminary, but I couldn't be with seminary people because I had to work, but I couldn't be with work people because I had to be in seminary, and all of that, there were kids who needed to be shuttled places, and nowhere were roots set down or relationships developed. And that's not how people are meant to live. And I would feel that. I'm talking to other pastors, I know that they can sometimes encounter that too, because you know, you end up being the one who's the organizational person, who's putting out fires and settling fights and wiping tears and dealing with the building. And in the thicket of all of that, relationships, real spirit-driven ones, can fade. And there was a point in all of that where I said, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm just lonely. I just got nobody around me." And it was because I could feel my own reptiles of the mind waking up, where you start getting anxious. You start feeling angry for no reason. You start feeling ways that compromise your ability to serve and care for others. And that was a point where I realized I had personally work to do. I had to be intentional about finding places of connection, and I was. That's one of the reasons I went back to school for a doctorate. Hey, people, yay, I can talk to you, yay. It's one of the reasons I began volunteering in my community through Annandale Christian Community for Action on a regular basis. And it's something, having worked through it, that I think is an important part of what all gatherings of Jesus followers need to do and should be able to do well, to be able to be a place where people can feel welcome in a world where too often people feel like they're living in a wilderness and among the tombs. That is the point of this gathering, of our little tribe, our ability to share fellowship and welcome, to be that place that Jesus is talking about when he says, "You can go home," to be that place that listens when Jesus says, "There is a place where you can have friends." Here in this world that is filled with so many who live in places of isolation among the tombs, that's a core part of our calling. Let that be so. for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It's a rushing world. It's a busy world. It's a world where we chase around. And in the thickets of all of that, sometimes people, sometimes we, slip through the cracks and find ourselves disconnected and uncertain and anxious and feeling alone. And part of our calling as Christians, as a community following Jesus, is to be a place where those who have lost their way find a home. As you step out into the world this week, keep your eyes and ears open for those who are struggling in those places of separation and isolation. Listen for them and be willing to be a healing presence to them, to in your person and in your way, to be that home and that friend that Jesus promises all who seek him. Go out and help bring that fellowship to the world. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us this day and always. Amen.